Hello and welcome to Sidelines, an inside look at Cornell Athletics. I'm your host, David Keating. Joining me today in preparation for his first home game, as well as his first Ivy League game and first homecoming game here at Cornell, is the Roger J. Weiss Class of 61 head coach of football at Cornell, Kent Austin. Thanks for joining me, Kent. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to start off, all eyes are going to be on the program this weekend. Mm-hmm. Alumni, students, and the Ithaca community are all going to be seeing you for the first time. What does that mean to you, your players, and the program in general to be at the center of the university?
Well, that's what makes college football great. You know, get out on the field and competing and knowing that it means a great deal to so many people that support us, alumni, friends, families, parents, the university itself. Our players understand the importance of that and hope that the game atmosphere will be very, very exciting for our players, that our players will play at a real high level and give our extended Cornell family, you know, something to be very proud of.
So what does homecoming mean to you in your past experiences as a player and a coach in college football? Yeah. You know, I know it's a special time. What does it mean to you?
Oh, it is. You know, homecoming is one of the events during the football season everybody looks forward to. Typically, you have more alumni, you have more fans, you have more of the student body, all gathering for that one event. And certainly, there's a lot of activities around the football game as well that increase the level of excitement for the game itself. So. It's always an important game for every school, and certainly it's an important game for us.
And any specific memories or experiences from your playing and coaching days?
There's been many. You know, we've had homecomings where we've won the game at the end of the game with the last, you know, 2 minute drive, and others I've actually been on the losing end as a player too. But it's always a fun game to play in, and it's one of the traditions that make college football so special.
Yeah. So. I want to talk specifics now about your team this year. Now that you've seen the guys, you know, with the lights on, with the pads on, in a game experience, how does that change how you evaluate players and you know, going forward in the season?
Well, you know, you can't get a proper evaluation until you see them in a game. I said that going into this game and all fall camp. We're anxious to see how our guys responded, how they responded mentally, how they responded psychologically, how they responded, you know, physically, who kept with their assignments, who played at a higher level when the game counted, all of those types of things. Are we playing our guys in the right position? Are we asking them to do things they can't do? Do we need to put them in a better position to do things that they do well? And where do we need to make changes? And all of those, you know, we got a lot of answers, you know, this week, and we're making our adjustments accordingly.
So, are there any, you know, what specific adjustments do you think you see yourself making just from last week to this week?
Yeah. Well, some of the adjustments are we're going to have to make just from a personnel standpoint due to injuries. We lost four guys in this past game, and we lost another quarterback, which is now our third quarterback that we've lost. So Jeff Matthews will be our starting quarterback as a freshman. We've lost Grant Galatly as well, who was competing for the starting tailback job and was our Wildcat our quarterback. We lost him as well. Mm-hmm. So it looks like a season-ending injury. And Zach Imhoff is pretty questionable, and Jesse Young, one of our freshman receivers, out with a concussion. So we've got to juggle some things there from a personnel standpoint, and some of the replacements aren't necessarily capable of doing what those guys did in that particular game plan. So we're going to have to modify what we do to give those guys a better chance and try to fit what we do to their skills. Jeff's a different kind of quarterback, you know, than Adam and so forth. But we're going to go young. You know, we've got some young players that that we need to develop that give us a chance long term. And you got to take your lumps a little bit, but I think it'll pay off not only this year but in subsequent years.
Yeah. What getting hit with a rash of injuries, especially sort of in the first game of the season, what does that do to team morale and coach morale?
Well, I've told my team that we're not falling back on any excuses, you know, especially injuries. If you fall back on, if you use that as a safety net, it becomes a safety net for an excuse for the next guy that goes in.
Right.
And it lowers his expectations, and we can't have lower expectations for the player that finds himself on the field. We tell our players that if you're on the football field, we expect you to play at a level that's worthy of the position you've been given to be on the field and to play as a starter. And so we won't make any excuses. You know, with injuries, everybody has them, and we've got to line up and play again. And it's our job as coaches to take the guys that are going to play and give them the best chance for success.
Mm-hmm. So I know you guys are bringing back the 1990 Ivy League championship team. What does that mean to you and your program, and what can you guys learn from guys like that that have done it in the past?
Yeah, a team like that's really special because they were able to accomplish something that very few have. And our players understand that. We understand that as a staff. And obviously that's the level that we're trying to get to as well. Anytime you have that group, you know, that's representing something that an accomplishment that is so meaningful here. It's great to honor them and to bring them back and have them around our players and for our players to see, hey, these, you know, it can be done.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk, what do you think your emotions are going to be like as you walk through march through campus on your way to the stadium and head out onto the field for the first time, leading your team out onto Schoelkopf Field, and what are your emotions like? What do you expect from that?
Well, you try your best as a coach to focus on the game plan, focus on different situations that you anticipate finding yourself in, and really focusing on the players. You know, get making sure that the players are ready to play and that their emotions aren't swinging too far in either direction, keeping them grounded and centered, and like I said, focused on their assignments and the game plan. And all the other stuff is great. It is. But at the end of the day, it's still a distraction.
Yeah.
And you can have positive distractions and negative ones. And we need to focus on getting better and playing a clean game.
Okay. And, you know, in your pregame preparations, and so do you do things a particular way? Do you have things you like to do before each game?
Are you talking about superstitions?
Yeah, things like that.
No, I'm not a very superstitious guy. I don't wear the same clothes or do the same routine. So much of my routine is based on what's going on in my family at the time. So, I don't have anything like that.
That's refreshing to see. So I want to ask you a little bit about a coaching tactic, something that happened this past weekend in college football in general. Yeah. A bunch of people probably saw the Michigan State coach Mark D'Antoni called a fake field goal in overtime down by 3 points on the 30-yard line. You know, incredibly gutsy call. I want to get your reaction first as a coach to a call like that, and then also what kind of gutsy calls you've made in the past and how that falls into your coaching strategy in general.
Well, I've made calls like that myself. 2007, the Western semifinal, I made a call like that to try to win the football game, and we went on and won the game. But, those calls are great when they work. They're not so great when they don't.
Right.
So that's the reality of the profession we're in. And I like coaches, though, that play for the win, and we have an attitude here that if we're in a close game, we're gonna play to win the game, if we can.
Great. So I want to get you out of here on this. What are you most excited for this weekend?
Well, I'm excited to see how we respond after last week. The thing that we need to focus on with the players, because they haven't had a lot of success. Mm-hmm. We're trying to change the culture here and change the way that we think and the way that we prepare and the way that we believe, and we need good things to happen. Our players have, because there's been so much negativity, around winning and losing, we need to get some traction. And to get some traction, we need to have some good things happen. So I'm anxious to see how they respond. I'm anxious to see if they can bounce back and play better. Usually you have good improvement between your first and second game, so we need to focus on the process of getting better.
Great. Thanks so much, Coach. Really appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And stop by Schoelkopf Field this Saturday at 12:30 as Cornell takes on the Yale Bulldogs. Thanks for watching Sidelines. Let's go Red.